Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry. Ernie Goss says in his Mid-America Index report for May, the regional economy continues to expand at a positive pace. He adds, however, that tariffs and flooding across several states have pulled the overall index below growth neutral in our neighboring states of Iowa, Nebraska, and North Dakota. Ernie Goss is director of Creighton University's Economic Forecasting Group, and he joins us by phone from Omaha. Dr. Goss, welcome back to In the Moment.
Hey, Jackie. Good to be with you.
So we'll kind of run through some of the highlights from the May survey.
Sure.
To start off, like we said, overall index declining for a second month straight while trade issues being identified as a mounting problem. So how much of a decline and how big of a problem?
It was a small decline, but the trade issues and the flood issues are significant problems. And of course, the president just announced Friday that he intends to increase tariffs on imported goods from Mexico by 5% and increase that up by month up until through September. Well, there's a lot of folks, including me, that are concerned that that may jeopardize the USMCA. That's, of course, NAFTA 2.0 or the recent version of NAFTA, that might jeopardize that trade agreement. That would be even larger. Of course, that would spill over into Canada as well. So trade issues big. Of course, the flood also a significant factor in particularly in South Dakota, particularly in Nebraska and Iowa, where the impacts are quite large on the rural areas. Well, not just the rural areas, but the farmer.
Mm-hmm. And how much do those mid-American states rely, particularly we'll focus on Mexico?
They depend heavily on Mexico in terms. Now, what we would talk about is if they retaliate. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you're talking about the sale of corn to Mexico. You're talking about other agricultural products. Because in this part of the country, ag is very important. And one of the issues is the trade war. It always involves agriculture. Front and center, the first casualty of a trade war is agriculture. And in this case, the Mexican situation, that's politics and economics colliding. And right now, politics is winning, and that's not good, at least from my standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a historical example for how this could potentially play out?
Well, I hate to go back to the 1929-1930, but the Smoot-Hawley Act was ushered in. Now, it's not all that's responsible for the Great Depression, but it sure contributed. I mean, the idea that somehow we can reduce the trade deficit and be self-sufficient, yeah, we can, but do you really want to grow bananas in South Dakota? I think not. You want to provide medical equipment and then trade it for bananas. So that's how it works, and it's good for in trade. There's usually a winner. There's always a winner and another winner, and it's just one is a bigger winner than the other. The idea that some lose and the other gains is just not correct.
Mm. Another highlight in the May report: 1 in 8 manufacturers report switching their suppliers to avoid growing tariffs. What kind of impact does that have?
That's also quite significant, Jackie, because on the other end, of course, they may be switching as well. That would be supply managers in China switching instead of buying from the U.S., buying from Brazil, buying from Australia, buying from Vietnam. And that's the real impact. In other words, the retaliation is the real issue and the significant issue. So once you get accustomed to moving to another supplier, you may never go back. And that's mm-hmm. the real key. And we all know how that works. You find another place to buy your clothing. You don't go back to your old clothing provider.
Right. And so for those local suppliers who are seeing that impact, what kind of options do they have?
Well, right now they're having to pay more, and that would be in case if you're limited to buying domestically, that increases your cost, and you pass that on to consumers. So I'm expecting prices to rise a bit from this, but not it still hasn't hit the consumer yet. Has not hit yet because thus far the providers have sucked it up and eating the increase in cost to them, but there's a limit there when Walmart begins to tack on those tariffs onto their products. Now, they've done it to some extent, but we will see more of that in the weeks and months ahead. And, of course, the real key is, in my judgment, it's going to slow the economy down. And this economy is already slated to grow at a slower rate this year than last year. Now, of course, quarter one is very good, but there's some reasons out that may not be repeated for quarter two and three and four this year.
Mm-hmm. What are some of those reasons that worked in quarter one that won't continue through?
That's a great question, Jackie. In other words, a lot of these supply managers, purchasing managers, and also on the other side, that would be Chinese as well, they saw this coming, the tariffs, that is, and they bought in advance of that. So we had an inventory buildup. In other words, just get those inventories up because we may have to pay more later on. Well, that boosted overall GDP because an increase in inventories adds to GDP. So quarter one GDP growth was one of the big factors pushing it above 3%. That was a good number, but still, I don't expect to be repeated in quarter two or even later.
Mm-hmm. And so, as you said, consumers not noticing this in their pocketbooks just yet, but about how much longer can we continue on until that's the case?
We're going to see it in potentially in the next couple of months. Mm-hmm. And also, of course, the floods, that's increased, for example, agricultural commodity prices. They've begun to increase significantly. And, of course, that will add to food costs. Now, not significant there to the consumer, but it will also add to our costs and what you see when you go to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Another highlight, for as we mentioned in the intro, four states recorded indices below growth neutral for the month of May. I'm not an economist, I'll level with you. Spell that out for me. What does that mean?
Well, it's Jackie, it's right now, if you drive down I-29 from Sioux City, mm-hmm. of course, one not too far from you. Mm-hmm. Try to drive to Kansas City down I-29. You get turned away in Iowa at two places, north of Omaha and south of Omaha. This is spilled over. Sorry for the metaphor, but spilled over into what we're seeing in for Iowa. Iowa's the number was below growth neutral for May. Nebraska likewise below growth neutral for May, and then you're seeing Missouri seeing some impacts. And I think South Dakota, we haven't seen the impacts just yet, at least in our survey, but I expect that to be the case as well. So this is there's no good time for a flood, but this is a especially bad time for a flood when farmers are already suffering from the trade issues.
Mm-hmm. Based on, we're only 4 days into the month of June, but based on what we've seen so far, do you have any expectations for what we're likely to see in the next report?
Well, I think it's going to be lower again, Jackie, and that's unfortunate, of course. And your listeners out there, I think, what should they be keeping an eye on? Mm-hmm. What's the yield on the 10-year Treasury? Now, that sounds very arcane, but just go to finance.yahoo.com, and there you'll see the 10-year yield, and it's above 2%. When that goes below 2% and stays there, that's a warning that something's going on. The risks are higher, for example, a Brexit. That would be Britain taking a hard exit from the EU. That would be a problem. It would move that below. That would be also a problem for global trade. Of course, again, agriculture is very dependent on trade. So keep an eye on that 10-year Treasury. And there is a potential right now for a recession in the first half of 2020. I'm not saying it's there, but we're talking about probably 60 to 70% probability right now. That's above 50%, of course. And then also we may see a rate cut. The Federal Reserve may be cutting rates, and of course that's good for borrowers. And also right now mortgage rates are down, and it's a good time to buy a house if you got certainty in income.
Mm-hmm. So I'll poke back on that again. A chance greater than 50% of a recession next year. Not trying to alarm anybody, but just kind of looking at that potentially. Mm-hmm. For folks, makes them a little nervous maybe. What are there any actions that we can take if we're not, the ones negotiating the trade deals or the tariffs? What can we keep an eye on?
Well, again, look at short-term rates and long-term rates.
Right.
When short-term rates move above long-term rates, that would be the six-month Treasury versus 10-year Treasury. Now, that sounds very, very inside baseball, but when that short-term rate gets above the long-term rate, the last three times that's happened since 1990, we've had a recession about anywhere from a year to 18 months later. Now, it's already been negative. So that's a troubling sign. Now, it's not 100%.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even 80 or 90, but it is, say, 50 to 60 and approaching 70% of probability of recession in the first half of 2020. And, of course, what one can do is just be cautious in your spending, be cautious in what you're committing to, and can you sustain a cut in income? Can you sustain other outcomes from a recession?
Right. We've talked so far a bit about trade, manufacturers switching suppliers, a bit impact of the flood. What other highlights do we want to take away from the May report?
Well, here's the positive. Let me go positive.
Good, please help us.
I don't know how many people we've had turn the radio off because of my negative remarks. Sorry for that. I'll tell you the positives. The positives are you're living in the best part of the best nation on the face of the earth. They need our food. Ultimately, that food exports will continue. That will be a boost, but that's long term. Short term, we've got a consumer that continues to spend. We've got unemployment rates at very low rates. That's a very positive. That's been very good. For South Dakota, you've got a banking sector that's very positive. You've got a healthcare sector that's adding jobs and economic activity. And that's, of course, very positive.
Phew. Okay. Maybe we should have led with that. I'll keep that in mind for next time.
I did a Sioux Falls drive time radio show. I don't know how many people they might have driven off the road from my comments. I don't know.
But it's not all doom and gloom. There is some hope for us is what I'm taking
not.
Away from this.
Absolutely not. In long term, you couldn't be in a better place going forward.
Okay. All right, Dr. Goss, you've cheered me up a bit.
Okay. Well, thanks, Jackie. Good and nice talking to you today.
Good. I've got just one more question before I let you off the phone, though.
Sure.
And this is a little unrelated to the May report, but I've seen a recent WalletHub survey has irritated some people with the Chamber of Commerce with the state ranking South Dakota's economy 40th among 50 states overall. They rate on categories like economic activity, economic health, and innovation. When it comes to taking rural states in with these national surveys that rank on their own sorts of categories, how would you suggest people reading these headlines kind of reconcile that or interpret some of these things for what they are?
Take it with a grain of salt. Those WalletHub and so on, they tend to think everybody should be a little Seattle. In other words, that's not how we live, not how everybody lives. We're not a Washington State. We're not a Seattle. Sioux Falls, other Rapid City, Omaha. These are good places to live, and we're not West Coast, East Coast, those surveys I think are biased toward those communities how big's your coffee shops, you know, how many coffee shops you got, you know, that sort of thing.
Right. Okay. Ernie Goss.
That's my take on it anyway.
Sure. Ernie Goss is director of Creighton University's Economic Forecasting Group. Dr. Goss, a real treat to talk to you today. Thanks for explaining this to me and for joining us today.
Well, thanks, Jackie. Thanks for having me on.